Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Time to look back on racing at Caulfield, Rose Hill, and gee, we'll touch on that meeting at Morfordville yesterday with the win of Charlie Rose. It was terrific racing all around Australia, highlighted by what was a very competitive day's racing at Caulfield. Dean Lester, as I welcome you into the show.
Yeah, good morning, Warren. Yeah, it was a terrific day of racing all around the nation, and Caulfield, it was an exciting day. Fast racing with the Oakley Plate and the Blue Diamond, hard not to enjoy a day at the of racing like that.
Quality horse flesh on show at Caulfield yesterday. Brendan, how did you enjoy the day?
It was a ripping day's racing, wasn't it? The Oakley Plate was a dead set genuine Oakley Plate, wasn't it? Fast and busy finish. The Blue Diamond, we seen a very nice 2-year-old there, and the Futurity with Probabile didn't let us down either. And then the other racing around the country just topped it off nicely.
It was Blue Diamond Stakes Day, so that was the feature. Luke Curry taking out his second Blue Diamond aboard Artorias.
So it's N Far up towards the turn at the 500. Clearly 2 1/4. Jigsaw General, Bow Finance Tycoon, then Absailor Ingratiating Construct, cutting the corner, Arcaded. Then came Animo the widest. Further back, Wolves in traffic from Artorias, Janibi, Hitotsu and Pagazi. It's N Far at the 200 metres from General Bow Finance Tycoon, Ingratiating running on. N Far has a fight. General Bow coming out of Finance Tycoon, Ingratiating, and Artorias is flying at the 50. Artorias pounces, bombs them and wins. Artorias from Ingratiating, photo third. Animo from Finance Tycoon, General Bow in.
Well, Matty Hill was excited. He probably wasn't the only one, Dino. It was a thrilling contest. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it was. It was that, Warren. So much intrigue. I mean, we've had the drama of watching the Enthar story unfold through the week. She was past fit to run. We knew she'd probably lead and probably stay away from the pack early, and then mid race she just got going, and then you just wondered how much was in the tank. And you knew at the 200, if you were on Enthar, it was all over. But it was then a matter of which swooper was going to win. I thought Ingratiating had just the absolutely ideal run to win the race. He was just weaving into the race at the right time, and I thought when he presented, he was the likely winner. But then Artorias, who Animo had to go around them on the home turn, but Artorias cut through the field, and that was the crucial moment of the race. And it was a terrific ride by Luke Curry, and I think Matt Hill just gives Luke a bit extra every time he rides a feature winner. I think he's got a real soft spot for Luke, and it was a great call.
Brendan, how did you see it?
Luke Curry is definitely the top of Matt Hill's favourite jockey list. I can assure you of that. And gee, he gave a good ride there yesterday. Did Luke on Artorias back? He was strong late that last 100 metres or so. William Pike couldn't have done any more than what he did on Ingratiating. Maybe just that little duck in with about 150 to go halted a little bit of momentum. I thought Animo ran a terrific race. The gate wasn't a help there. Finance Tycoon was good. General Bow wasn't in the right part of the track, and kept on boxing on. And a horse back in the field, I thought Wolves run a tremendous race. Has been sent out big prices in the handful of runs she's had to date. She's taken on the top liners. She got stopped in her tracks by the winner at the top of the straight and has still run on to be beaten 5 lengths. I think she's done a tremendous job, and I'm sure Connections are going to have plenty of fun with her.
Dino, what do you make of Enthar now, and particularly with reference to the challenge of 1,200 metres?
Oh, look, I think in a present mindset, it is a challenge. The one thing I would say is that if she presses on to Sydney and the Golden Slipper, the Golden Slipper is a different race again, because it's a horseshoe track out of that inside chute at Rose Hill. It's a different sort of beast. And I thought she raced maybe a little bit kinder the Sydney way when she trialled and raced. I don't know if she's got her head quite around going this way, going and absolutely enjoying it. So I think they're the little variables that might help her, but it's still a challenge for her. And she's, you know, there's no doubt that she's very fast and probably the fastest 1,000-metre horse of this 2-year-old crop. But it's just got to translate to a little bit further to win one of the Group 1s.
What else do we take of some of the runs behind? You referenced that Animo had to get forced wide. I thought his effort to keep battling on, considering he was forced to do that, was terrific. How did you see some of the others, Dean?
Yeah, his effort was good. When you see thanks to Daily Sectional Times, the elevation late in the race of the winner, I mean, it was visually obvious, but often it can be, look at the figures of previous gold, blue diamond winners, and some of them it's just a fatigue factor of the others. But he actually was about 1.3 lengths above average the last 200 metres. He's the only horse above average late in the race and home in 11.68. So a terrific effort to maintain that gallop from a long way out because he was chasing all the way virtually. The horse that Brendan mentioned, Wolves, got stopped and got going late, and I think a horse called Hitotsu's got a future. I thought second start in the race ran really well. Thought it ran well in the prelude, and there'll be plenty of races for him. But with regard to the slipper, as I said, I think it'll be interesting if Entha the challenge if she goes back to Sydney, how she goes. And I think if this group, I think Ingratiating's got the best racing style to run well in a slipper. I just don't know if around Rose Hill, Artorias, you've seen a lot of run-on winners of the diamond don't get into a race like the slipper or even around the Rose Hill track. So that would be my concern with him with regards to a slipper. But certainly Ingratiating, I think, has got the right style to run very well.
Brendan, you've already referenced Wolves as a good run at odds back in the field. Your thoughts on Enthar at this stage and what that might mean for her for the future?
I think 1,200 is going to be a test, but you only get one crack at a slipper, so you would think they'll be throwing their hat in the ring to have a go at it and just hope that this time she might get it a little bit better. Not sure they want to be looking for cover or anything like that, but maybe the experience at the 1,200 metres, maybe she might draw a better gate and get onto the fence and relax a little bit more. I'm not sure, but she'll be going that way. Widower Super, I agree with Dean and Gray Shanny. If he can take up a spot like that in the slipper, he's going to be pretty hard to hold out. He'll be right in the calculations.
And partnerships quite often the way of the future from a training perspective. Dean, great to see Sam Friedman sharing a Group 1 with his dad, Anthony.
Yeah, it certainly is. And the Friedman model with the two-year-olds now, it's stood the test of time for three decades. They had that wonderful run in the slipper. They've just had continual winners of the Blue Diamond and usually the style of off the speed and strong late. They don't have that really precocious horse that then you've got to teach to slow down. Probably Bint Maske was the only one that comes to mind of their feature two-year-old winners that has raced like that. But I think that model of just letting the horse come together gradually, and the horse like Artorias, he didn't know a lot at Geelong, ran well. The 1,300-metre win was perfect for him, and then the trial blinkers and the master stroke at the end. So, the dynasty continues.
Quality field assembled for the Group 1 Futurity Stakes. Behemoth and Probably All shared favouritism ahead of Arcadia Queen.
Crosshaven around the turn at the 400 metres held together. A length and a half, Streets of Avalon. Behemoth getting out now, the big man. Then came Probabil. Ole Kirk up on the fence from Sosie Bond. Then Arcadia Queen. Crosshaven joined and headed now by Behemoth and Probabil. She strikes the mare. Probabil at the 200. Here's Arcadia Queen, a length and a quarter away. Probabil a length, Arcadia Queen. Probabil going well. Probabil wins it. A half Arcadia Queen. Mr. Quickie third from Behemoth, Sosie Bond.
Another thrilling contest. Brendan, what were your thoughts on the Futurity?
Yeah, Crosshaven went out at a pretty solid speed. He rolled up there with the shades on and wanted to get it over and done with. And he went at a nice speed and just broke the field up a little bit, which allowed Damien Lane to drop in. And he did cover some ground three deep, but he got a spot where he was going to be in control of his own destiny. The second of two really good tactical rides from Damien in a row. After the ride on the filly in the 2,000-metre race previously, he knew where he had Arcadia Queen and he knew where he had Behemoth, and it was just a matter of when he wanted to pull the trigger on Probabil. She had a really good campaign last time in, but she's taken it to another level here. She was super there yesterday. You would think Arcadia Queen's only going to get better from what she did, but she's really flying Probabil. Mr. Quickie made his run with the first two across the line. That's his sort of run first up, and then Crosshaven, the three-year-old, just got fired up on the speed, and Ole Kirk, going back and watching the replay, face value a bit disappointing, but then he was on the inside, he was slow away, so not a lot helped him there, and Behemoth had his chance in behind them.
nothing in the stewards' report with respect to identifying anything for Ile Kirk. Began awkwardly. That was obvious from watching the race and the replay, Brendan, as you outlined. And Kieran McElroy brought the colt for some distance in the middle stages, raced tight on the inside of Sosie Bon on ground that may have been slightly inferior. Nothing from a veterinary examination, and the stewards are going to follow up with Team Hawks. Dino, how did this race shape up?
Yeah, it was a race that Crosshaven led at, as Brendan said, didn't go excessively hard, but he was going hard within himself, so he was racing. But I just think this probably sets up where all of these horses fit in the scheme of Group 1 racing. I think you've got probably Arcadia Queen at the absolute elite. Mr. Quickie Behemoth, we've seen in the good Group 1s, like the Memsie run well and the Rupert Clark, that's about their level. Sosie Bon, well, he always is a bit of a fringe player. And Streets of Avalon beat Crosshaven, similar margin to what he beat to him in the Ore Stakes a couple of weeks ago. And Ole Kirk is the one that did disappoint, but I think he's the one with the excuse because he had to kick up early and when he was racing tight and then racing the worst ground. I'd be forgiving of that run, but he certainly, I'd like to have, you know, like to have seen a bit more, but there are enough excuses to say that he could bounce back.
Early in the day, and probably for the majority of the day, Dean, the riders seemed keen enough to avoid the absolute inside of the track, although that did vary at some stage during the day. How did you see the track playing?
Oh, well, it's hard to tell when you're off course, Warren, but you take a note of what the riders are wanting to do, and Luke Nolan set the trend of the day in race two on Oxley Road, being off the rail leading and winning, and a couple ducking back to the inside and not going so well. So that was sort of the trend of the day. Celebrity Queen got up close to the inside in the dead heat in the Oakley Plate. I think it played, fairly well, but that inside patch, I think, you know, the contributing factors going into it was the rail stayed in the same spot, had to be heavily watered. Then you didn't get as hot a day as anticipated, and maybe that inside, because it, even though it didn't look like it had a lot of wear, maybe it, you know, it was affected more by the watering than anywhere else. So it was only a slight thing, but I think probably three off was the better place and a bit wider.
Wayne from Oakley's been up and about, a regular at the Caulfield races, Dino, and gee, he's weaving in a little bit of comedy or a little bit of, proper writing into his SMSs this morning. Good morning, panel. Another sensational day's racing at Caulfield. Would it be too far-fetched, the dam of Probabil, to suggest that Probabil can now go on and win the All-Star Miles, Wayne from Oakley? So he's working beautifully this morning, Dino, and I suppose this race is going to be a real pointer towards the All-Star Mile at Moonee Valley in a few weeks. How do you see this race shaping the All-Star Mile?
Oh, I think it shapes it completely. I think on dry ground, these mares will fight it out. We saw that on wet ground, there wasn't much between them in the Cox Plate at 2,000 metres. I think Arcadia Queen probably better at the 2,000 metres, so she beat Probabil home. They get to the mile with Probabil third up, Arcadia Queen second up. It's going to be a sensational race between those two. And, you know, we've still got the wild cards to come in, but of who could possibly come in off those wins, I still think these are the top two seeds.
Yeah, Brendan?
I'm not discounting Russian Camelot going into it. These two girls have got the racing under the belt, but I'm still a big fan of the Russian. So I think he can. I think that looking at it at the moment, without the wild cards in there, the market's probably got it spot on. Just because Russian Camelot doesn't have that race fitness under his belt heading towards the race.
I'm sure the handicappers, Greg Carpenter and the team, would have been pleased with their work in the Oakley Plate. Seven horses across the track with just on a length between them as they hit the line. The judge couldn't separate Celebrity Queen and Portland Sky.
Then Howomatic, Ranting and Sword of Mercy from Garner Standout, Brooklyn Hustle, Bold Star, Dirty Work, Hanseatic Well back with Prophet's Thumb into the straight at the 300, driving up Ancestry, first to straighten from Portland Sky and Anders, two length Celebrity Queen, Kemmel Pass as Zutori runs on from Sword of Mercy. Portland Sky's taken the lead, went to the front, a wall chases Portland Sky at the 100 metres, led Kemmel Passer and Celebrity Queen's driving, they hit the line, Portland Sky or Celebrity Queen, they've fit it together. Brooklyn Hustle has just dipped out wide from Kemmel Passer and Dirty Work. It's a
One via the SMS, Dino, congratulating you on finding a trifecta in the Oakley Plate. Certainly paid well, around about the $1,400 mark. Mark was very happy for working through your numbers there. Take us through your thoughts on the Oakley Plate.
I think Mark must have written them down wrong because I didn't have Kemal Passer in the numbers, but I'll take it, Mark. Well done. Good on you. Look, it was a sensational race. You knew you were going to have high speed. The mid-race pressure was enormous. Anders and Ancestry were the two that cracked. The one that didn't was Portland Sky. He was unbelievable in hanging on, even with the lightweight. It was a tremendous run. But so was Celebrity Queen to get up on his inside to get to the dead heat. She had to reel off the fourth best last 200 of the meeting to get there. The best 200 of the meeting was Brooklyn Hustle, and had she just got through a little bit neater at the crucial stage of the race, just had Bold Starter inside and Randing to her outside having her a bit neat, but she really powered to the line. And then Dirty Work, second best last 200 of the meeting. Zutori, not far away. Prophet's Thumb, third best last 200 of the meeting. So it was a high speed finish in a high speed race and a cracking race.
I don't know where to look, Brendan. How did you see the Oakley Plate?
I knew I was looking. I was looking the same place Dean was with Portland Sky, hoping he was going to hold on. He's run a phenomenal race. Two of the fastest horses that you'd probably get in a race of this nature, both with lightweights, and he was able to sit in between them, duel with them, and then drop them at the top of the straight. I thought he might have been sitting in the spot riding the wave, was just a length or two off, and then having first crack, and then running past, and still playing that catch me if you can in the straight, but not of having such a tough run throughout. He's done a phenomenal job to do what he's done. Celebrity Queen not in the right part of the track, and then Brooklyn Hustle. I thought Kemal Passer's run a huge race. Dirty Work wasn't helped by that inside draw, having to duck and weave in behind, but then you just draw a line across the track and line them up. Good luck to Matty on that occasion, trying to get them in an accurate order. Would have been a bit of a brain fryer after the photo up ahead. But Anders and Ancestry both making excuses post-race. Anders maybe wanted it a bit softer, has pulled up with some lacerations, and Ancestry maybe a run short. But, you know, you don't get too many chances to run in a Group 1 race with 51 and 53 and a half at this stage of their careers. So maybe it's one that let them slip by. But Celebrity Queen's run well, but Portland Sky, he probably deserved it outright with the work that he did.
Could be a significant day too, Dean, for T.O. Nugent. First ride in a Group 1, rode the horse at 50 kilos and sharing. So a Group 1 victory for T.O. Nugent. Significant day for him, Dean.
Absolutely, Warren. And T.O.'s a very good rider, and he just doesn't sort of get the limelight that a few of the apprentices do. But yesterday he certainly did, and he made the most of it, and he showed that when the opportunity came, he could would prove equal to the challenge. He's ridden a lot of city winners, a lot of winners overall, and well done to him. And I think he rides a little bit differently to a lot of the other apprentices. He's a bit more sort of the European Johnny Allen sort of style, if anything, but it's very effective, and he got a great result yesterday.
Oakley Plate quite often can shape a race like the Newmarket down the straight, but we saw September Run last week in the Lightning. Dino, how do you think this race, if you were taking horses out of this race, the key ones heading towards the race like the Newmarket?
Look, I think tab.com.au have got the market right with regard to the order of the horses from yesterday in the Newmarket. Celebrity Queen, $11, is the shortest, and I think that's fair enough. Then you've got Kemal Passer, he's so good down the straight at $15. Brooklyn Hustle, $17. They'd be the three that probably stand out. But I think that for mine, there's only one, and that's probably Celebrity Queen. I think, she got form up to 1,400, which is often a good thing for a new market. She was great yesterday, and she can probably only improve off that run. So, look, I don't know if she's going to throw out the challenge to September Run and to a lesser extent Swats that, but she's certainly gone up in the estimations off yesterday's run.
How are you seeing that, Brendan?
Yeah, just not sure they're going to be able to match it with the fillies from last week in the Lightning. You would think Celebrity Queen could run well. Brooklyn Hustle could possibly go there and be diving late, but just think there's a little bit of a class difference between those that we've seen in the Lightning and those horses we've seen in the Oakley Plate yesterday.
Back to the top of the card, Defibrillate, a well-backed favourite in the first. Back out to 2,000 metres.
350 metres to go. Blenheim Palace, Wolf, and out three wide, San Huberto. The race is on. Dawson Diva darts back to the inside, and Defibrillate is moving up boldly, and they were followed by Hangman at the 200 metres. San Huberto grabbed by Defibrillate, then Blenheim Palace, Wolf, and Hangman. Defibrillate, 100 metres to go, about a half length in front, pulling clear from San Huberto, who won't give in, but Defibrillate one at a neck, San Huberto. Third Hangman, I'd say, from Dawson Diva or Aussie Nugget.
Oh, he's having a terrific preparation, Brendan. What did you make of the way Billy Egan handled Defibrillate in his performance yesterday?
Yeah, did a super job with him. He's got that that mouth agape and just racing keenly. It looks like he's pulling, but I'm not sure how hard he's pulling. Maybe that's just the way he likes to go about it, and how much stead that's going to hold him in pushing over a little bit more ground is going to be interesting to see. But it just looks like he's ready to do whatever Billy wants him to do, and whenever Billy asks, he delivers. Every time he wants something for him, he creeps closer, and he just keeps giving. He's in super form, and I'd love to see him go to the fast-run Australian Cup and just be able to relax maybe that little bit more. I think he's going to he could play a massive part in that. But slowly run race there yesterday once they got to the top of the hill, and to round them up like he did, he's really flying, and back to 2,000 was right up his alley. Seeing Haber, that was a super return from him. He had the advantage of racing close to the speed and in the 1-1, but you'd suspect that he's not going to be too far away wherever he steps out next. And Hangman tried to jump onto the back of Defibrillate. Defibrillate giving him weight again, but probably better suited at the 2,000 compared to Hangman. Some okay runs behind, but I think Defibrillate's the best horse coming out of this.
Dino, how'd you see the first?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned yesterday in the preview, what an amazing strike rate he's got for a stayer. He's won 9 of 13. You don't see that very often. We've seen one probably in Adelaide yesterday as well. But I think he's a 2,000-metre horse. I wouldn't like to see him be tried over further just yet. It might come in time, and he tried it earlier in his career. But at his absolute best, I think he'd really would have matched motors with the horses that ran in the Peter Young yesterday, and a lot of them are going to the Australian Cup, so I think he should have a go at the Australian Cup. I think he's in great form, and 2,000 metres at Flemington is going to suit him better than Caulfield. We saw that the day he won at Flemington. He won with complete arrogance, so I hope he has a throw at the Australian Cup. I think it's there to run very well this year.
Let's talk about Aussie Nugget, Dean. What did you make of his performance?
Aussie Nugget bombed the start. He ran well. I think 2,000 metres won't be a problem for him going forward. I didn't mind the run of Dawson Diva either. She's going well. I think Peter Moody will find the right race for her. And I love the return of San Huberto. I thought he'd been trialling really well. And a bit like how Fred Kersley rode him in the Sandown Cup, you knew that he was going to come out early and get going, because they've worked out he's just got to keep rolling. And you could see right on the line he was actually kicking back to Defibrillate. So he can maintain a really long gallop, that's going to stand him in good stead in our staying races, because he can genuinely stay.
The day got better for Sam and Anthony Friedman, but Aussie Nugget, reading from the stewards report, slow to begin four lengths, held up and unable to improve from the 600-metre mark before obtaining a run near the 400-metre mark, held up over the concluding stages, went to the line, not fully tested. So that's disappointing, and not the start to the day. Then co-trainers Anthony and Sam Freeman were notified of a warning placed on the gelding's record for being slow to begin. I guarantee, Dino, that message would have been passed on to Sam, because I don't think they would have been game to ring Anthony after the race and after the bad luck the horse had and tell him that there's a warning on his horse.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think, he's had enough bad luck with the barriers this week, with Forbes not going in the barriers at the trials in Sydney. I think was their golden super horse, but he's in a bit of trouble. So, yeah, it wasn't a great start to the day, but it certainly improved.
Defibrillate taking out the first. The Mornington Cup Prelude over 2,000 metres. 1,200 metres for the Zetative Stakes. Peter Moody can train a winner, and he's got a nice horse in Oxley Road.
Oxley Road at the 300 metres lead. It's our time with a beautiful run up on the inside. Still about two lengths off the leader, though, as the leader accelerated. Oxley Road under hands and heels, about a length and a half in front, two lengths in front, and is quickening away from in second place. It's our time, but Oxley Road's going to be too quick. Oxley Road won well from It's Our Time. Third Valaquenta conceded grand.
back to his old home track of Caulfield. And as you referenced earlier, Dino, Luke Nolan just giving us an indication there with the path he mapped on Oxley Road, the way the track might be playing. How did you see this race?
Yeah, it's often that riders pick up on a pattern from, yeah, because they've run on from back in the field. But it's early in the day to actually make the play and sit off the rail like that. That's knowing what was going on early in the day, and you know, good work there by Trumbie to do that. And it was never in doubt, Oxley Road. I mean, it sort of looked that way on paper pre-race because he was going to get a pretty easy lead. He was a horse on the up. It's Our Time was coming off a hard 1,400-metre run. Valaquenta just wasn't sure where he's at. Conceded was on the comeback trail, if you like. And then the others were sort of, you know, Grand Pope off a maiden win and Confrontation looking for further. So it set up well for him to win it. He just had to go and do it, and do it he did. He won well. He didn't, you know, break the clock open or anything with the win, but it was a really good win, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come because he's still very much in his learning phase, only having his second start.
How did you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, I'm sure Luke Nolan would have been giggling to himself after about 200, 250 metres when he got the lead. He had no pressure from Sol Peter to his outside, and as Dean outlined, he had It's Our Time behind him coming off that really strongly run 1,400-metre race last time out. So it was just a matter of holding him together and then ask him to go. There's still a massive degree of rawness there, so you would think there's still plenty to come. And he was impressive there yesterday. It's Our Time's run well again, but just maybe that stamina sapping 1,400 last time coming back to the 12th didn't let him have that acceleration. And Oxley Road, probably right horse, right time of his career and campaign to really take advantage of that race yesterday. It was like nothing had changed. It was vintage Moody and Nolan, like 5 years away from the record books, but just cut that little 5 years out, as we mentioned yesterday, and it's pretty much business as usual.
Good to see the band back together, Moods and Trumbie, with Oxley Road taking out the Zetative Stakes. The Angus Armanasco for the fillies, three-year-olds over 1,400 metres. Notification of a change of tactics. Confirmation, yes, baby, yes, will be ridden more forward.
Coming up towards the turn at the 450, it's Wanaleri and Yes Baby Yes matching strides. Malacorn three quarters of a length away. Then Shijiki to the outer. Safe Passage with the yellow cap needs a run. So too Impecunious. Miss Guggenheim's hunting the fence. Then Chicka for Word, hey? Yes Baby Yes at the 200 metres under Hands and Heels. Went to the lead. Safe Passage into the clear. Malacorn and Shijiki. Yes Baby Yes, 100 metres to go. Still led by a length to Malacorn. And Yes Baby Yes is scores. You're going to hold on. Malacorn's made a dive. It's tight. Yes, Baby Yes or Malacorn. Third is a photo as well.
Knows the margin there, Brendan. The judge having to pour over another tight finish there at Caulfield. What was your take here?
Yeah, it was only going to get harder later on in the day for him, wasn't it? We've already touched on with the Oakley Plate, but a race that wasn't a fast-run race. Yes, Baby Yes, fought up on the speed and was able to quicken down nicely. Malacorn did a good job. That little bit of interference there, not sure if it was, they got within a nose. Was it enough? Stewards didn't think so. Thought Shijiki battled on well. Impecunious probably should have won the race. If it gets clear air from about the 300, you would think she would have gone on to win. And Chicka for Werte has done a good job. But Yes Baby Yes, Jamie Carr, she only got one for the day yesterday, just for something different. She let the boys have a go there, but she raced did her well in the breeze and just made ensured the tempo was going to be there to suit her. But Impecunious is the one that I'm taking out of this, and Chicka for Werte over something further.
And Impecunious, unfortunately, was galloped on the left hind, so a veterinary clearance prior to racing again. Dino, just reading from the stewards' report, with a protest was lodged by Dan Stackhouse aboard Malacorn, and the stewards established that near the 130-metre mark, Yes Baby F shifted out slightly towards Malacorn, necessitated Daniel Stackhouse having to turn his filly out slightly while continuing to ride. The stewards weren't satisfied that the incident cost Malacorn finishing ahead of Yes Baby. Yes, so they subsequently dismissed that objection. How did you see it?
Well, there was certainly a very slight move, and it was only a very slight margin. So, yeah, I don't think it would have been absolute clear-cut decision, but, it was ultimately dismissed. And Yes Baby Yes winning, I think, gave us an indication there was genuine give in this track, because she's a better horse with the jar out of the track. There's no doubt about that. Looking at her form, she did a good job. This was a very pedestrian tempo. They didn't go much faster in the middle, and they came home fairly slowly. So overall, it was the lowest ranking race of the day. I think out of it, Impecunious and Miss Guggenheim are the two that have got some, a bit of a future going over further. These fillies might progress on now to the Cuny over a mile, and if it was at a mile, if all being well with Impecunious and Miss Guggenheim, I'm happy to think that they'd finish a lot closer to the top than they did yesterday.
That was the Angus Armanasco for the fillies over 1,400 metres. The mares went around over 1,400 metres in the mannerism. There was good money for Rich Hips to topple the easing favourite, Perfect Jewel.
Around the turn at the 350. Sovereign Award by a length and a half to Perfect Jewel, who's breathing fire and getting closer. Rich Hips to the outside. Under the whip is Hint of Mint, then Spanish Reef and Neighbourhood. Still Sovereign Award at the 200. Had a kick in the locker. Perfect Jewel and Rich Hips are both coming at her. Sovereign Award at the 100. Grabbed by Rich Hips and Perfect Jewel, but Rich Hips is just in front of the favourite. Rich Hips won it. A great return. A half length Perfect Jewel and Lunacorn third from Spanish Reef.
Well supported, Dino, and got the better of Perfect Jewel. What did you make of the mannerism?
Yeah, she was terrific, Rich Hips. What she's got is a really, really sharp turn of foot when given that chance to use it. We saw her looking really unlucky on Melbourne Cup Day, but when she got clear, able to overcome that and win. And she did it again yesterday. This was a very, very slowly run race for the first 600. No wonder Sovereign Award was over racing. She went about eight lengths below standard. She can run standard or quicker than standard, so she could have been flowing along and not pulling, going a lot quicker. They quickened up from the eight to the four, and then Rich Hips was able to really sprint off that. I thought Perfect Jewel ran quite well. I saw in the post-race review that William Pike does on Twitter that he was surprised that he was so close to the speed. Well, that was because they were going so slowly. She got there without any effort at all and ran well. Lunacorn, I thought, did enough first go at this sort of grade. And Spanish Reef, she runs in these races every year, and she ran very nicely yesterday. And going to Flemington in 2 weeks in the Matron, you'd think she'd run pretty well.
What do you think might be a next target for Perfect Jewel?
Well, I think she'd probably go towards the Matron maybe as well, which would be ideal for her as well. So they'd probably be two of the better chances. Perfect Jewel would probably be the better chance, but I think most of these would progress on that way. I think Rich Hips might be heading towards the Coolmore though in Sydney, so the worry there would be the soft ground because she is a superior dry tracker.
What were your thoughts here, Brendan?
Slowly run race, and Perfect Jewel would have liked it to be run a lot more solider and just maybe taken that dash out of Rich Hips, which she wasn't able to do, and Rich Hips just stalked her and went past her. Perfect Jewel's run really well. Lunacorn good off the slow tempo. Sovereign Award, although she went slowly, she's back to that over racing characteristic that we've seen when Ollie was aboard her last preparation. Jamie Carr took over and got her to relax and got a stakes race on the board for her, but she went with Lunacorn yesterday and has run well. I thought Moonlight May did a good job. She was entitled to finish off with the slow tempo and being out the back, but she's run third in a Victoria Oaks and then ran fifth in a South Australian Derby behind Russian Camelot, so she wants much more ground than what was there yesterday, and I'm sure the connections would have been happy with the way she closed it off at the back end. But Rich Hips, you'd like to see her go to Sydney and find dry ground, but the championship deluge is starting already, and it's probably going to rain for the next couple of months up there just to keep things for the normal. So it might be tough for her going up there, but nonetheless, she was good yesterday.
Rich Hips taking out the mannerism, defeating Perfect Jewel. Lunacorn in third position, a length and a half behind the winner. Perure's having a terrific preparation for the Lindsay Park operation. She lined up at Group 2 level, taking on the boys in the Autumn Classic yesterday.
Milton Park set alight at the 400, moves up to Satanta and Nevaez. Again, the field marginally off the fence. Perura's out. Quay's trying to barge out too. And then came Wano. It's Milton Park at the 200. Perua's the first to attack, followed by Quay. Butter Chicken runs on. Perua took the lead at the 150, followed by Quay and Butter Chicken late. Perua led by a length. Butter Chicken, who's finishing strongly, but Perua holds on. She'll win it. Perura, Nick Butter Chicken, Quay. Photo 4, Young Verter. Or Milton Park.
Damien Lane aboard Perua. Brendan, how did this race pan out?
Yeah, Damien Lane, first of his two really good tactical rides there yesterday, jumped well, made sure that he knew where Quay Quay was the whole time. Speed wasn't overly fast, and Nafeas was probably going a little bit too keen up at the top of proceedings at the back end of his preparation, and Damien was just happy to jump on the outside of Quay Quay and ensure that he wasn't getting a crack. He rode the race perfectly. When it was time to go and the runs were coming, Quay Quay had traffic coming back in his face, and Damien Lane was just ensuring that he had the favourite where he wanted her, and off she went. Perura, she was really good there yesterday. Butter Chicken got onto her back and followed her through. Fillies have both run really well. Quay Quay, you'd think, something going to get better off of that run and with some clearer air, and Young Verde did his little hang-in again, but with the speed really against him out the back, I thought he ran on well enough.
Dino, I got one via the SMS before you get your overall take on the race. It's a pretty blunt question. Is Young Verde cooked? So only two runs back this preparation. What's your take on Young Verde and the race in general?
No, I don't think he's cooked. Coming to the turn, I was a little bit worried about him, but I thought he was okay late. They came home pretty slowly, but that was because Nevaez went out pretty quickly. I thought he'd go to the front, Nevaez, but he's been leading in those Sandown races at, you know, below average speed. He went about five lengths above standard here, so he went to a different speed level and he didn't handle it at all, but it made it a pretty much a staying test, and Peru with the race fitness, coming off beating Nevaez last start, she's progressed on. Butter Chicken has had three runs and always has been in races of good pressure, which really suits her, and she ran well. I just think Quay Quay, we learnt last time in when he won the UCI, he sat three wide and he didn't have horses around him and he relished it. I don't think he liked being inside horses. I was surprised he ended up in there, and I don't think he liked it. He had to sort of push out and probably then peaked on his run, but I thought he ran okay. And with Young Verde, you've got to remember, last preparation, he won at Geelong and then he ran at Flemington, and Flemington, three really big tracks. So he's had two goes at Caulfield. I want to see him just get onto a bigger track and see, you know, stretch his legs and see how he is going. But I thought the last little bit of his race was at least encouraging.
John from Heathmont's come up with a novel idea, nothing to do with this race in particular, but with Rachel King and Jamie Carr doing so well. Good morning, boys. Do you think it would be a good idea to invite Rachel King to Melbourne for a ride-off with Jamie Carr, both jockeys to pick their own mounts? Surely a great promotional opportunity. I think in some way, Dino, the industry certainly promoting the likes of Rachel and Jamie taking on a management company during the week probably is an indication of the promotional opportunity that is there, not just because Jamie's a female, but just because she's such a good rider.
That's what we've got to get past, surely. That, you know, this is, you know, it's commonplace. The female riders dominated everywhere. You say they're just jockeys. Just get your head around it. And if they're the two leading riders at the time, you know, like we've had in the past when we've had, you know, the leading riders from Sydney and Melbourne, you know, have riding series and things like that, you know, that probably 20 years ago now. But, yeah, I'd relish it if that's, you know, just because they're the leading riders, not, you know, because it's no longer a novelty.
Taking out the race yesterday at Caulfield and doing it in very good style to hold off Quay Quay, and a solidly run race, as you said, Dino, stands her in good stead. I wonder, it's early in her career, Butter Chicken is a terrific looking horse, and she's got a bit of substance about her. What do you think could be an opportunity in the relatively short term to Butter Chicken? Is she even a Sydney Oaks filly, something like that?
I think she'd be more a Sydney Oaks filly, yeah, I think so. 2,400 metres, why not? You know, I don't know where she sort of goes between now and the say, the Vinery and then into the Oaks, but if she runs in the Alistair Clark, maybe, and then the Vinery and the Oaks, something like that. But, you know, I think she can certainly, you know, measure up to something like that, because I think she's a genuine stayer and she's the right style of horse to come along and you know, put her hand up at this stage.
You like a futures bet, Brendan. If the tab put $100 free futures bet on you on Butter Chicken, and you could pick the race that she was in, and maybe even name your price, it'd be even better. But where would you be heading with Butter Chicken?
I'd be going to Sydney with her for the Oaks. She just looks like that 2,400 is going to be ideal. And, you know, she was hitting the line as strong as anything yesterday, and a little bit more experience under her belt. I'd be... asking kindly for the money to be placed on her in the Oaks.
Action aplenty after Perure took out the Autumn Classic with the three Group 1s at Caulfield. We got to the last, the Peter Young Stakes, over 1,800 metres, a competitive field assembled.
Night's Watch is going to cap the corner, and behind them Harlem. So it's Holmesman and Paradis. Paradis strikes the front 250 from home. Then Night's Watch, Shared Ambition, Nonconformist, Wax Away, Chapada runs on. Paradis at the 150. Holmesman's Brave, Shared Ambition, Nonconformist, and Chapada. Still Paradis from Holmesman. A wall chases, but the mare is Brave, and she won Paradis. From Shared Ambition, Photo Third, Holmesman, Steel Prince, Nonconformist.
Oh, some nice time in the sun up the Gold Coast. Dino seemed to suit her well, although she did go up there in good form.
She did, Warren, and she's really been opportunistic, those two wins there, and then a really good chance for yesterday. And a good ride from John Allen, because he drew one and quickly got off the rail. And this race wasn't run at a fast speed, and it suited her just to cruise into the race, be there, and hang on to beat Shared Ambition. She did it well enough. Holmesman, he's probably better rolling at a bit stronger speed. He ran quite well, but when you look at his figures, he usually leads above average sort of speeds, and he was about six lengths below standard for the first 1,000, and maybe then they quickened up very sharply, and that probably told on him late, but he ran quite well. Nonconformist, as with your interview with Luke Curry, he's ticking over well. I think if he draws a decent gate, he can run very well in an Australian Cup. And I think Chapada was going to be right in the finish, but got stopped and started a couple of times, which he probably can't do, but he still ran really well. And he's a little fluker's chance in the Australian Cup the way it's shaping up this year. I thought he ran well without any luck at all, Chapada.
In the stewards' report, highlighting that fact, Dean, and Regal Power also features in the stewards report. A lot of Bob Peters, Cerise Army ran well yesterday, but Regal Power probably didn't fit that bill. Nothing from a stewards report post-race. How did you assess Regal Power, Dean?
I thought he was fairly poor, but yeah, and he did have that sort of lung infection last time in him, and you wonder if he'll come back. But if I recall rightly, he had blinkers on when he was firing last year, so they've still got that up their sleeve going forward. But it would be a massive form turnaround to see him place in the Australian Cup like he did last year before winning the All-Star Mile.
What are your thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, slowly run race. Looked as though it was going to be between Paradis and Holmesman from a long way out, and Paradis, with just that little bit of race fitness on her side, was able to go on and win. Shared Ambition's run well. Holmesman, he'll be better for that run. And then the horses behind were entitled to be doing some work at the back end with the slow speed, Steel Prince, Nonconformist, and Chapada, as the outline, was unlucky not to get his crack. He's one of mine. I've followed him for some time, but gee, he's hard to follow, Chapada. But I'll stick with him, and I think Angel of Truth's working along nicely towards an Australian Cup. I think he might be able to play a little bit of a role in the Australian Cup. He'd like it even better if it was a softish sort of track, but he's going okay when the tracks are firming up. His last two runs on, he ran well on the good three in the Aura, and then again there yesterday, heading into that good three range. He's been able to hit the line again there yesterday. So to Flemington, which I think will suit him, he mightn't be too far away at a nice each-way price.
I'll pose this question to you, Dino, via Ted from the SMS. Thank you for your input, Ted. Please put the Australian Cup back to a handicap. Now, you've got a really good handle on the conditions of certain races and quite often recommend tweaking. Dean, how do you see that?
I mentioned this yesterday on the Autumn Ticket that it might nearly be time, because the All-Star Mile is Wait for Age a week later. The Wait for Age horses are sort of trending that way. So it might be a good opportunity. I love the Australian Cup as a handicap. I've loved it as a Wait for Age race. I think it's one of our great races, and I think it doesn't get promoted to the extent it should. But it might be a good chance for it to be a handicap and become, as its name says, the Australian Cup, and there wouldn't be the internationals. It'd be a handicap, make it a true handicap. And I agree with Ted. I think it might be the time, because of the creation of the All-Star Mile, there's a chance to tweak the Australian Cup back to handicap conditions.
You got a thought on Ted's SMS, Brendan?
Hard to argue with the point that Dino's just raised. The All-Star Mile at Wait for Age has really changed the landscape in the last 2 years. So it might be time to go back to the drawing board and make it a handicap to open it up at Wait for Age. It's going to be a little bit different, you would think. But, yep, I could I'd be voting for it to go back towards a handicap.
Another regular contributor via SMS, Warren from Vermont. Good morning, guys. With the horses that ran in the last race, which are entered in the Australian Cup, I think they've got the prices wrong with them. Thought Steel Prince was the best run out of those heading towards the Australian Cup. Dino, how did you assess Steel Prince's run yesterday?
Thought he ran pretty well. He was on pace, and then they quickened, and I thought he toughed it out really well. It was a good run, and he's in that sort of group. I mean, we're talking about, and this is the thing, we're talking about good handicappers at weight for age. If I think a horse like 50 Stars, who's currently the favourite, runs well in the Blamey next week, and we know what a good backup horse he is, and he's a weight for age horse, second to Arcadia Queen in the McKinnon, and having already won the Australian Cup, you'd think he'd have a bit of an edge over these handicappers at weight for age.
Just looking at that tab market and looking at Warren's assessment of that, Nonconformist $7, Shared Ambition $9, and through that race yesterday, Steel Prince at $15. Do you have a comment there, Brendan?
Well, Dino made the case there that they're all handicappers going towards the weight for age race. 50 Stars is the weight for age horse. So, and he backs up. We've seen him do it at Flemington on numerous occasions and run well on the backup. So, they're going to be up against it, beating him if he can run a little bit better than he ran first up there in Sydney.
Paradis taking out the Peter Young Stakes, the last at Caulfield yesterday on a very competitive day's racing. There was good racing right around the rest of Australia yesterday. We'll have a look at that after this short break.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs Treble. First leg quaddy fail? It's treble time. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Pelter held together, coming around the turn from Prime Star, Easy Campeasy, North Pacific's pulling out, and two further back to Aegon, revved up between runners. It's Pelter scraping paint at the 300, trying to beat off Prime Star. Aegon's going for a run between them, and North Pacific to the outside. Pelter's under siege, and here comes the Kiwi. Aegon went straight through the centre and charged to the lead now in the Hobartville Stakes, and Aegon makes it 5 out of 5. Went on to beat North Pacific Prime Star, Pelter weakened at the end.
Stuart's report has him slow to begin and crowded between Pelter and Lions Roar near the 250-metre mark. Dino, what did you make of the win first run in Australia of Aegon?
Gee, it was a good win, wasn't it, Warren? When he got through, he really quickened down, had a lot on them late in the race. Loved the way he ran through the line. North Pacific hasn't quite hit the mark of what he was doing last preparation yet, but he might be still, you know, a peak run away, but it was better than his first up run. But Aegon, again, thanks to Daily Sectional Times, fourth best last 400, fifth best last 200 of the meeting. So to burst through like that and win over 1,400 augurs well for his upcoming autumn campaign, and another one for the Baker Forsman team.
Brendan, how did you see that win of Aegon? He looks like a ripper.
He certainly is. They tried his best to keep him in, but he was having none of that. Once he got a full head of steam up through that gap, there was no stopping him. We know the finisher horse like North Pacific's got it, and he left him standing. I thought North Pacific was okay. He had a soft run there in the 1-1, and Pelter, he was okay there on the speed, but getting back to Randwick where he likes it, and I thought Prime Star was okay, but Aegon looks like he might be in a little bit of a different category at this stage of their careers.
Dino, one via the SMS. We'll get to the two-year-old race in Sydney, the Silver Slipper, shortly. But any intel, Ree Forbes and the Golden Slipper, is it still a chance to get there after his poor barrier manners? The person who sent the SMS has a live ticket with a Friedman stable double for the Blue Diamond into the Golden Slipper. He's starting to run out of chances, Forbes, isn't he, Dean?
Well, yeah, it's just time. I think he didn't load last Thursday week at the trials. He didn't load again on Tuesday. I think he might have been sent for a bit of remedial work to Goulburn from memory. And, I imagine he's got a trial sometime this week and then run in the Todman on this Saturday and then have 2 weeks or try and do something like Reduce Choice did and race the week before, or do they try and even go in first up? Have they got enough money? I doubt it. So it's time is against Forbes, unfortunately. Not talent, because we saw that on debut that he all but beat Animo. So he's in the picture talent-wise. He's just got to get his act together.
speaking to Brad Taylor from the Freedman Stable at Caulfield yesterday, and you're right, he has gone from some remedial work, and there are some trials post a meeting at Goulburn today, and he is down to trial at 5:30. So hopefully, if that goes well, and he can at least get his barrier certificate back, then they may be able to try and resurrect that campaign. Hoping your double can stay alive, but he's obviously going to have to trial well, and then he might have to earn some prize money, as Dino said, to be able to get into the Golden Slipper. The Silver Slipper was the feature race for the two-year-olds at Rose Hill yesterday.
Into the straight, 350 out. Home Affairs moves up on the outside of direct. Paolili's got Rocket Tiger in a pocket. Further back then to King of Sparta making ground. Home Affairs, he goes for home now at the 200. Got a neck up on direct. Then came Rocket Tiger sticking on. Home Affairs, those broken clear in the Silver Slipper from Rocket Tiger going to a clear second. But Home Affairs sees it out today and off to the slipper he goes. Home Affairs beat Rocket Tiger. And a third, pretty good go there. Direct may have held on from King of Spain.
What are your thoughts on the two-year-olds yesterday, Dean? Brendan, we'll get your thoughts first here.
Home Affairs probably better suited with a little bit of cover compared to his run last start where he was picked up late. Not sure he's going to get a 1,200 of the slipper, but I reckon 1,100 at this stage just might be his upper limit, but he ran well there yesterday. I thought Direct was good on the speed. Rocket Tiger trying to force his way out from in behind. I thought he did a really good job, and the fade of Paolili wasn't helped by Rocket Tiger shunting him out of the way. Not sure how well he was going at that stage of the race, but Home Affairs won well, but not sure that he's going to get a strong 1,200.
See the depth of this race, Dean?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit off the pace, Warren. Times weren't great, and it was soft track, but chances are Slipper will be on a soft track, so Home Affairs did a good job. He's a big sort of unity. He reminds me in type of a horse, say, like Marauding, like a big, strong sort of horse. But whether he's going to run a 1,200 metres, that would be the query. Rocket Tiger was the wayward runner and ran quite well. I think probably with an eye to the races that get longer, I think King of Sparta, because he got knocked around and he should have placed yesterday. But I think as the races get longer, he's the one that would probably... I'd take out of this race of this group anyway.
Anthony from Manor Lakes has sent an SMS in, Dino, and I'll put it to you because it's a horse that I know you have a good handle on. How can a horse Peltzer be a star on one track at Randwick and a dud on another 180 degree difference? He comes out of that Aegon race yesterday, Dino. How do you rationalise Peltzer's performance?
He might like float trips. He doesn't like being racing at home. He likes the trip to Randwick, but I really don't know. I thought it was probably the fact that he ran in the Golden Rose and those sort of races at Rose Hill. Maybe those horses had a couple of lengths on him, but then he's raced so well against same sort of horses at Randwick. So we'll learn more in the Randwick Guineas. If he bounces back there, well, it's the Chief De Beers scenario, isn't it? Why couldn't Chief De Beers win at Eagle Farm?
Yes, exactly. It can happen. We do know that Charlie Rose is pretty versatile. She can just about win anywhere. She was at Morfordville yesterday for the Lord Reams en route to the Adelaide Cup.
A corner for home, Musharab tackled by Farouk, swinging for home, the big unit, Farouk took the lead, but Charlie Rose in hot pursuit. Charlie Rose ranged up to Farouk, she went straight past him like he was standing still. Then Musharab, Epidemont, long arm from the back, but Charlie Rose opening up, four in front from Farouk, then Epidemont, long arm now goes into second, but Charlie Rose, she is different class and she bolts it in the Lord Reams by nearly four lengths to long arm. Epidemont, a gallant third.
Well, Dino, we did see her dominate the Bagot. What did you make of her win yesterday?
Probably just a little bit easier, Nelly. She was, when Brett Davis said, here comes the big unit, I thought he was talking about her, but Farouk certainly got monstered pretty quickly by Charlie Rose. What a stellar campaign she's had, and maybe onto a stellar career from the Warrnambool Maiden win, winning on Oaks Day, winning at Sandown, unlucky at Flemington, winning the Bagot, and now winning the Lord Reams. I think the Adelaide Cup's the next cab off the rank, and then whether that's got her enough to qualify for a Melbourne Cup or she has to come back for a race like the Ramsden, but whatever she does, she's doing it very well, and what she's got now is that ability to really put a race away, and she's learning all the time.
How'd you see that win yesterday, Brendan?
Yeah, she left me scratching my head around this time last year when she got beat in a maiden at Terang, but since then she hasn't looked back. She was outstanding there yesterday. She really played with them. She might be the surprise baby of this period, heading towards the Adelaide Cup and then towards maybe a start in a Melbourne Cup, and what she has to do to get there. She might be the new banner horse. She's a big girl. She's got a big motor, and you would think she's only going to get better heading towards the Adelaide Cup, and looking at some of the form lines through yesterday with the horse that ran second to her with Yulong Captain. She beat Long Arm pretty comfortably there yesterday, so you would think she's going to be pretty short when Adelaide Cup markets come out.
Double for Jess Eaton in Adelaide yesterday, Dino. Thanks to James Safiris for passing on. Jess has got five winners left to outride her Metropolitan claim with something like five or six meetings to go. And I suppose there is the potential for her to perhaps shoot over the border if the restrictions allow and pinch a Moonee Valley night meeting or so. But she's done a terrific job, Jess Eaton, Dino, since basing herself in South Australia.
Oh, she certainly has, and she's not being used for the claim anymore. The claim's just a bonus. She's flying along, and a couple of stakes winners, and the premiership race, and it's been just sensational what she's done, and her riding has just developed so quickly in the last 6 to 8 months. She's always shown really nice talent, but it's amazing once jockeys get that winning habit and know what they have to do to win, it just changes it around completely.
Approaching 10 o'clock, just about to head to Sunday Central with Brendan Delaney as your host for the next couple of hours. But right now, let's get the boys to wrap up their thoughts on yesterday.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Plenty to pick from yesterday. Dino, how did you settle on it?
Yeah, I love the Futurity Stakes, Warren. So probably the run of the day and the horse to follow, Arcadia Queen, to turn the tables on her. That was the race for me.
Brendan Delaney, Sunday Central for you coming up. How did you see run of the day and horse to follow?
Run of the day with Dino, with Probabil. There was a horse down the track in that race that I'm pretty keen to stick with. He's going to be better over a lot further. I thought his run yesterday wasn't that bad, too close to the sun. He was upriding that speed and then sticking it out. He's going to go on a different path to some of these, you would think. So I might jump on with him this preparation. But Sunday Central, we've got a really busy time of it. We're going to take a look at meetings all around the country. Ballarat's a feature meeting today. Ben Ascari will be along with his thoughts. Jared Daffy from the tab, George Ferrugia in nice and early with his look at Sandown, a wrap of the Australian Cup heats last night. Trav Noonan will take us through Werribee. Then we've got Scone, Dubbo, Gatton, Port Lincoln, Launceston all on the menu before we get stuck into the trots at Cranbourne close to 12 o'clock. So a busy couple of hours coming your way on Sunday Central.
Looking forward to that. And Dino, before I let you go, we're racing at both Werribee and Ballarat today. Anything that's caught your eye?
I'll go to Ballarat race 2, number 11, Angelic Scent. I thought her run was outstanding on debut at Moonee Valley. I think the bigger track will suit. You've got to take around $2.50 with tab.com.au. I think that's fair enough. I think she can win race 2, number 11.
I'm with you there, Dino. Thanks for all your help this morning. Look forward to your contributions throughout the week on RSN 927.
Terrific. Thank you, Warren. Terrific. Thank you,
Warren. Handing over to Brendan Delaney. On with Artorias as the run of the day. Thought he was terrific winning the Blue Diamond. And I do think that Arcadia Queen can head to the All-Star Mile and be the horse to beat. So she's also my horse to follow. Artorias, run of the day. Arcadia Queen, the horse to follow. 10 o'clock on RSN 927. Thanks for joining us for Correct Weight. Stay with us, though. Brendan Delaney to guide us through Sunday Central right after this.